Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the PGE Podcast, the podcast channel of the Philippine Global Explorers, exploring the world without boundaries, the podcast that takes you on a journey of discovery, inspiration, and adventure. I'm Yohan Bowles, one of the hosts, and a millennial backpacker is always on the lookout for new experiences and connecting locals while traveling on a budget. And with me is my co-host, Nolan.
Hey, hi, everyone. I'm Nolan Tiaco. I'm the other host of the PGE Podcast, and I am a travel professional with over 30 years of experience in the industry. And it's quite varied, but essentially, if Johan's a millennial, I'm the Gen X. And I'm actually quite excited to embark on this podcasting adventure with Johan and all of you listeners out there. But before we dive into today's episode, let's welcome the president and chairman of the Philippine Global Explorers, who has joined us for the launch of the PGE podcast, and tell us more about our organization and the thoughts behind the creation of the PGE podcast. Welcome, Riza.
Let's give her a round of applause.
Yay.
Hey, Riza. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, guys.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Nolan and Johan. Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here and to be able to celebrate the launch of PGE Podcast with you guys. I know it took a bit of preparation before we got here, and so thank you both. Mm-hmm. We are finally all here today to kick off this program.
Yeah. Cool. So, Riza, could you tell us a bit more about PGE? Like, how did it all begin, and what drives PGE forward?
Yes. Sure, would love to know more about it.
As you know, PGE was founded on July 28, 2019, mm-hmm. as a travel community that brought together the most traveled Filipinos from every corner of the world who support each other in reaching their travel-related goals while leveraging their collective wisdom and experiences to contribute towards the progress and advancement of the Philippines. Yeah. From its founding, the guiding principle of PGE has always been this: the privilege to travel the world comes with a duty to give back to one's country. So that is really what drives us forward.
Mm. You know what? This is a very interesting organization. Indeed, I'm very proud to be a part of this organization myself, because there's nothing like it, because we get to actually help out each other and leverage whatever experiences that we have and experiences to contribute to the advancement, not only to us travelers, but also to our country. It's like giving back to the community. So it's inspiring to hear how our community is making a difference. So what's the thought behind doing this podcast? Like, how will our interviews here help PGE achieve its goals?
So PGE has clear goals. Firstly, in education, we want to foster education for the Filipino youth through travel. And secondly, we want to become a strategic thought leader in travel and tourism. And thirdly, we want to establish collaborative relationships with key stakeholders from the public and private sector, you know, to be part of this concerted efforts to advance our country's travel and tourism industry. And finally, we would like to push our advocacies on the preservation of our culture and historical heritage, and on facilitating the entry of Filipinos into other countries for tourism purposes by way of reciprocity. So what we hope is that this podcast would facilitate our ability to reach out to the audiences and partners who would help us achieve our goal. Our podcast channel plays a crucial role in reaching out to these partners, where we can discuss their needs, address important issues, and explore how PGE can make a positive impact. We want to create more visible projects and generate meaningful results for our community.
Wow, that's fantastic, Riza. Making a positive impact is indeed a challenging one. Riza, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, your goals as a world traveler?
Sure, Johan. So from a young age, I've always had this sense of adventure and curiosity and love for climbing.
Starts there.
I believe it is important to engage and connect with the native or local people to understand how they live their lives with each connection we are able to make with the people from different cultures, we become more sensitive and more compassionate towards the challenges of others. And we grow as a person. And if we grow this way as travelers, we will make the world a better place. World travel for me, Johan, it's not just about counting countries or setting records, but about what you do with all the experiences and knowledge you've gained from your travels. It is a privilege to be able to travel the way we do. So how can society benefit from this? What can you do to make the world a better place for everyone? Unfortunately, not everyone cares or thinks about that in our travel community.
Wow, that's fantastic, Risa. You know, this is what I really love about this community, because our goal is to become a trusted resource and a platform for collaboration, not only for the Filipino youth, but also for our strategic partners in the country. Maybe we'll never know. One of our partners will be the Department of Tourism in the Philippines. You know, the possibilities are endless, because we can definitely create a ripple effect of positive change for our country.
Yes.
You know, this is not just about us exploring the world, but it's all about how we can contribute to our homeland. So, Risa, can you tell us a little bit more about your own goals as a traveler, a world traveler, and a jet setter, quote unquote?
Sure, Johan. I'd be glad to. From a young age, I've always had that sense of adventure and curiosity and love for climbing. I believe it is important to engage and connect with the native or local people and to understand how they live their lives. With each connection we are able to make with people from different cultures, we become more sensitive and more compassionate towards the challenge of others. We grow as a person, and if we grow this way as travelers, we will make the world a better place.
Yes.
World travel for me is not just about counting countries, Johan, or setting records, but about what you do with all the experiences and knowledge you've gained from your travels.
Right.
It is a privilege to be able to travel the way we do. So how can society benefit from this?
Right.
What can you do to make the world a better place for everyone? Unfortunately, not everyone cares or thinks about that in our travel community.
Wow. You know what? That's a fascinating perspective, Risa. You know, it really resonates with me, because, you know, I believe that world travel should be more about than just collecting passport stamps or chasing after records. I think it's all about this profound journey of personal growth, cultural exchange, and learning. And travel is indeed a privilege, you know, and we are fortunate to be able to explore different corners of the globe. With that privilege comes a responsibility to consider how our actions can contribute to the greater good. And with that, of course, it's important to acknowledge that not everyone in the travel community shares this perspective. We would like to, of course, thank you, Risa, for gracing us with your time. And we can't wait to continue exploring more inspiring ideas and stories together on this podcast. Do you have anything to say before we move forward?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, guys. I wish you all the best in the launch of this program. And I look forward to listening to your first guest interview.
Yes, indeed. We look forward to that as well. So Risa, hope you have a wonderful time in your next country. Where are you heading off next?
Yeah, I'm waiting for North Korea to open. I'm hanging around here in Asia in hopes that North Korea will open its border soon and I'd be able to complete my 193 country.
The last one.
I would do anything at this point.
Or you can hitch a missile and go to North Korea. Or ride a submarine and land. Risa, it's really great to have you, and we really wish you the very best on your last country. I'm sure a whole team of PGE members will be there to support you and join you as you make that major travel milestone. Thank you again, Risa. We'd like to say goodbye and see you again.
Nolan, what do we have in store for today?
We do have the star of the show for this particular adventure, seeing every country in the world without having to be on a plane.
Wow. Not even possible.
This gentleman has been at it for almost 10 years now. And finally, he has actually completed his quest. He is no other than Thor Pedersen. We'll have him very shortly. Thor Pedersen, we're honored to have you here. You're really an incredible traveler. And you are because of one particular thing and goal that you have. You have almost visited every single country in the world, but you are now on to the penultimate country.
I think that's a word for the day, Nolan. Right?
Yes, yes.
Penultimate. Yes. Of course, we can't wait to hear about Thor's adventures and get some travel tips from him. So, Thor, we've been following your journey for a while now. So tell us about how this all came about. Like, what was that driving force that ignited you to like start exploring the world without flying?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me as a part of your very first podcast episode. And penultimate is an excellent word, as I've been clocking the countries within the Pacific. And going back to the beginning of all of this, it started in 2013 when my father, he sent me an article. And I read through it and I found out that no one had gone to every country in the world completely without flying. And it just blew me away. I really felt that I grew up in a world where everything had already been done. People had gone on the highest mountains, they'd gone to the deepest seas, they've even made it to the moon, North Pole, South Pole, all the continents have been discovered. And there it was, sitting in front of me. No one had gone to every country completely without flying. So that really intrigued me. And the more I looked into it, the more I got sucked in. And then eventually I started to design a project and I put it all together. And finally, I left home in 2013 with the hopes of completing it all within 4 years, but it didn't go that way.
Quite a number of our listeners may not be aware that Thor is actually from Denmark. So Thor is our modern Viking. So Thor, how do you relate to that comparison? And does that mean so much to you?
I see some of the Viking heritage within myself. I definitely try to kill someone in every country I go to as a trademark within my project. No, so the Vikings were a lot of things, and I think often they're portrayed as very violent people, and sometimes they were, but they were excellent navigators. They were some of the best navigators of their time, which was about 1,000 years ago. They went out and explored. They did a lot of trading as well. Meeting people and exchanging culture and ideas. So I think that that's the part of the Viking heritage, the quest and the interest and the desire to go out and see what lies beyond the horizon.
Thor, your journey to visit every country in the world without flying is truly remarkable.
So the general idea behind all of it is that it has to be done completely without flying. And as such, any other means of transportation are available. I aim at doing as much with public transportation as possible. So the bulk of all of it has been buses as the primary form of transportation. Many, many, many trains as well. Lots of shared taxis and motorcycle taxis and so on. Ferries. And then sometimes I have to go beyond public transportation and see if I can hitch a ride on board a sailboat or a motorboat or a banana boat or a private yacht or a cruise ship. And in recent years, especially within the Pacific Ocean, it has been container ships. And today I'm speaking to you from on board my 36th container ship.
Wow. Interesting. Wow.
It's really awesome.
This is also special to a lot of Filipinos because we probably are one of the largest, if not the largest, exporter of seafarers in the world.
It is definitely a frequent occurrence to come across Filipinos at sea. I've met them on every ocean I've traveled on, and it's always a blast. I mean, there's a lot of joy and kindness and a lot of laughter. And if there are Filipinos on board, there's guaranteed karaoke on board as well. And a lot of fun evenings with karaoke.
On your website, you mention that you travel with a specific set of goals, including promoting the Red Cross and highlighting positive news stories from each country you visit. Now, can you tell us more about these goals and how you incorporate them into your travels?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way for me to try to describe what my project Once Upon a Saga is about is to put it into three different boxes. So one box would be the ambition to go out and visit every country completely without flying, something which is highly demanding and something which I consider historical. And that obviously has a bit of ego in it, but it also helps to inspire people and motivate people to chase their goals, whatever people's goals might be. So that's one part. Another part is I've been a goodwill ambassador of the Danish Red Cross since I left home in 2013. And through that, I have teamed up with the humanitarian movement pretty much in every country all around the world. So it's the world's largest humanitarian organization and found in 192 countries. There is so much hardship amongst many nationalities and many people as well. And it deserves some attention, but it also deserves some help from those who can help. So that's a part of the project. And then sometimes the most important part of this project would be the third box, which is a positive promotion of every country in the world. And everywhere I go, I just see that people are people, and I always admire cultures and history and architecture and flora and fauna. And I'm usually always blown over backwards in how amazing countries and people they are. So I'm trying to promote the positive aspect.
Very cool. Great. You know, your journey must have had these moments, like getting stuck in Yemen during the civil war. Like, how did you maintain a positive attitude and keep going despite the danger and uncertainty?
It's often an uphill battle within this project. I'm trying to do things where there is not always as much support as I'm hoping for. And obviously, there are some parts of the world where you need to do more research before heading across the border or deeper inside the countries, because there might be armed conflict or there might be something else that you should pay attention to. Usually, it's the same thing that I talked about a moment ago, that people are just people, and you'll cross the border and you'll find that the majority of everyone that you meet are just kind and helpful and well-meaning people. So that has helped me a great deal. I think I'm just a very stubborn kind of person, and with a lot of grit and ingenuity, and then with a lot of support from thousands and thousands of people all around the world, it is always possible to find an unlocked door.
Do you consider yourself as a spontaneous or a well-planned traveler? Sure.
It's a bit of both. I really like to have a plan and I like to follow the plan. But when you do what I'm doing, you have to be ready for surprises. You need to have a contingency plan. And I'll have a plan A, but I'll also have a plan B, C, D, and E. And when all of that fails, then you need to be able to think on your feet. The show must go on. So it's a little bit of both. I guess if you ask my wife, then she would say that I'm a planner.
I'd also like to hear your thoughts about your way of traveling extensively. Like, perhaps you can share a few tips for sustainable and responsible travel, and especially to our Filipino listeners.
I really like hiking and I really like nature. And one of the general rules before you hike into a forest or up a mountain is that you leave nothing behind except for your footprints. And I like to take that and bring that with me anywhere I go in the world. Leave nothing behind except your footprints, or maybe some good impressions. You can leave that behind as well. But engage with people. That's really what it's all about. What is a country if it isn't about the people that live within the country, you know? So you should engage with people. You should try to learn bits and pieces of the language and use it every time you can, and be willing to make mistakes and laugh. And you should be respectful. You should give people an opportunity to speak. You shouldn't just come and run your mouth for 10 hours like a Fidel Castro speech. You know, you listen to people and observe and engage in. Yeah, that would be some of my tips. To do it sustainably, I'd say public transportation makes great sense. You know, so many times I'm walking down a road and I see hundreds of cars passing me and there's only one person in the car. And a bus maybe takes up the space of, let's say, four cars or something like that, but holds 80 people. So that's just so much more sustainable. Eat local food. Find out what are the local stable foods and then dive into that and get a food experience as well. I like to walk a lot. It slows down everything. So when you walk, you meet people, you see more, you get the smells and all sorts of stuff. It's a really good way to explore where you are in the world, and that's highly sustainable as well. So sometimes I guess flying is necessary, but generally try to avoid flying if you can. Do some local tourism. I mean, I got around pretty well in the world without flying, so it is
doable. Yeah, it is possible.
I traveled in a really small budget as well. So, I mean, by limiting your budget, you're probably also going to be more sustainable. It might also be a lot harder, a lot more challenging, but it could also sometimes be more fun.
How has your perspective of comfort changed over the past few years? Because, you know, when you're traveling on a budget, you certainly will have to sacrifice a few things to be able to save a few dollars, you know, at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, it has become a lifestyle for sure. Before all of this, I would go shopping and I would just swipe my credit card. I wouldn't be concerned with what the cost was of it. So it was quite luxurious life in that regard. And now I'm limited to $20 per day. For as an average, though, I can spend more than $20 a day, but I have to keep it as an average. So I reconsider, do I need to buy something new or can I repair what I have? I really think a lot about spending and what do I need and what do I not need. And it turns out I really don't need a lot. They say that if you repeat the same action 30 days in a row, then you create a habit. And for close to 3,500 days, I have been living on a small budget. So it's definitely been hammered into me at this point.
Are there any standout countries where hospitality is a norm? And has that hospitality not changed over time? With the modern age coming in, people are stuck in front of their phone screens. But there is still that aspect of interaction with people where you can really still feel that, you know, it's been like this many, many, many years or decades or centuries.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that question. There are two countries that really stand out to me in terms of hospitality. One is Sudan, and the other is Pakistan. And hospitality is just something on a completely different level. In Pakistan, they actually say that the guest is God. That's a saying. And it doesn't mean that they think you're a God. It just means that you should be, as a guest, be treated with the utmost respect and kindness, and you're not supposed to lift a thing or do a thing. You're just absolutely taken care of. And I can say the same for Sudan. When I went to Sudan, I very quickly made friends with Dafalla, and I'm in touch with him today to hear if he's okay and if he has water and electricity, and because things are not good right now in Sudan. But he took me in, and then I was just under his wings the entire time I was in Sudan. But the level of hospitality was ridiculous. And then I got embarrassed at some point because I felt I probably had more money than they did. And they just kept paying on my behalf. So I really wanted to pay, and they would just laugh and push me away and say, your money is not worth anything here. When we come to Denmark, you can pay. So, I mean, Sudan and Pakistan are two countries that really stand out. But I'd have to say there is a lot of hospitality in the world. It's highly unlikely that a Danish person would meet a stranger on the street and say, I have a guest room, come and stay at my place. That's really, really unlikely. But that is very likely in many parts of the world.
I wanted to ask a bit more about how you approach storytelling on social media specifically. And what role do you think it plays in your life?
Right. Okay. I'm rubbish with social media. I mean, if I had just the slightest talent in social media, I would probably have millions of followers, but I'm quite limited to about 100,000 followers after almost 10 years of doing this. And it's because I'm rubbish. I post too much. I don't post what people want to see. I'm just not social media trained. I do what I can. I have a few hardcore fans that really love the way that I do it and really appreciate it. But the greater masses, they look at what I do with social media and say, this guy should shut up, I guess. Social media for me is like a currency. So once you start to have bigger numbers, you can trade it. It can start to open doors for you. So that's the role it has had for me. And it has also been companionship for me. So it's very lonely what I do. And it just feels nice that I can share where I am or what's going on or how I feel and then get a direct response from often people I've never met. But also sometimes people I have met that are following and supporting one way or the other. And I am trying. I have my values. I'm trying to share my values. I'm trying to show a more ordinary, more peaceful, more friendly world across my social media. So hopefully it does that a little bit. But I'm sure if I had more talent, it would do it so much better.
Do you often travel solo or do you often travel with a group? Or like, how does that, you know, even happen? Like, do you like meet people along the way and you just plan things on the fly? Or like, how do you meet people?
Well, it does depend a little bit on the cultures as well, because some cultures, it's very easy to meet people. And in other cultures, it takes a lot more work. And also the countries, some countries, you can pretty much do everything yourself. And it just comes easy. Food, transportation, accommodation, everything that you need. It's just available and easy and safe. And then in other countries, you should probably have a contact person before going. An example would be Iraq. When I went to Iraq, I made sure I had a contact person who was waiting for me on the other side of the border, someone who could guide me and help me. I had a contact person when I went to Afghanistan. But then sometimes I haven't been able to coordinate this or organize that. So I went into Yemen as a solo traveler, and I was just opportunistic. And I met some people and they were willing to help me and it worked out. But it was a dangerous situation and it could have gone in an unfortunate direction. But as I say, if you're open to meeting people and engaging with people, if you're in a bus and the person next to you starts talking to you, then don't shut them down. Engage, have a conversation with the person next to you, and you never know where that's going to lead.
You're doing an average of 7 days per country. So
that was the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Aside from the time that you were stranded during COVID, how long would you spend on board a ship for the last third of your countries versus in the country itself or crossing a border for that matter? So how does it average out and what are the interesting insights you've gotten?
Well, it is an interesting topic because this is a very, very large project. My average per country is, I think, 16 days per country when you look across everything, but that includes the pandemic. So if you exclude the pandemic, I think it drops to 11 or 12 days per country as an average. But, you know, the average is held up by long stays and I was 102 days in Lebanon because it was very difficult to get a visa for Syria. I was a couple of months in Sudan because there were some complex elements in the region. I was 2 months in Tuvalu recently because I couldn't get away when I got there. So there are a few countries where I spend a lot of time either because I'm waiting for a visa or because I'm trying to connect with a ship and it just complicates things. Yeah, so the full story is far more interesting than just getting like a few numbers and a few facts.
What about your perception that you could share with our listeners? What can you say about the short time that you were in the Philippines in 2019? That was a time when a lot of people were traveling. So
exactly, that was the peak of travel in Philippine history before it all came tumbling down because of the pandemic.
Well, I think an interesting thing about the Philippines is that pretty much every island you go to is just its own little kingdom. You have such a treasure trove of travel wealth within the Philippines. And yeah, you're just lucky to be from the Philippines. You have so much you can see and do. Yeah, something I would like to say that the world seems to be so full of opportunities. There are opportunities every day, every hour, and people are missing them. And sometimes they're not seeing these opportunities. And sometimes they see them, but they're too stressed. They have too many children and they're too busy with work. And so they're not going for these opportunities. But so many opportunities are being lost every day. That could be connecting with people, making new friendships, or benefiting from collaborations and gaining new knowledge. And it's endless. There are opportunities everywhere. Keep your eyes open and try to reach for some of those opportunities. Be more adventurous. Say yes a little more often than you say no. They started the engine on the ship now, which usually means that we're leaving within...
Oh, they started the engine. Okay. So for our listeners out there, Thor mentioned a few minutes ago that he's on board a ship that is currently in the waters off Malaysia. And he will be taking about, you said something like 3 days to get to the penultimate destination?
Yeah, it's closer to 5 days.
Oh, more than
about 5 days on board.
Yeah, great. So with that, the Philippine Global Explorers would like to convey its gratitude and thanks for having you for our premiere podcast. It was really great talking to you and listening to your insights. I'm sure we will get to talk to you again one day. And we wish you all the best on the penultimate and finally the last country that you will visit.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me this honor of being in your premiere podcast. And thanks to Risa for teaching me the word penultimate. So after my penultimate country, then the ultimate country, and then I'll be on my way home. Thank you for all your kindness. And thank you to all the hardworking Filipino seafarers out in the world that have made it so much more fun for me to be out here.
All right, Nolan, can you believe it? We have just done our first podcast.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Indeed.
Of course, you have something to say to our listeners out there. I'm sure they definitely want to want something from us today. So tell us,
yes.
Tell us more.
Yeah. As for the listeners out there who have been to at least 20 countries, and you are a Filipino, meaning you were born a Filipino, your parents are Filipino, you hold Philippine citizenship, and essentially you are Pinoy, you know? You are invited to join our community, the Philippine Global Explorers. Join us via Facebook. There is a website as well, the philippineglobalexplorers.com. Okay. And of course, if you have friends who are members of the Philippine Global Explorers, ask them to invite you to our Facebook group. And then, of course, once you're part of the Philippine Global Explorers, do to become an official member. It comes with a lot of privileges. And together there,
exactly,
we, as Philippine Global Explorers, the community, we can make a difference, find travel companions to go with, to explore the rest of the world, and ultimately preserve the Filipino culture and Filipino heritage.
Exactly, exactly. Guys, we want you to be a part of us and join us on this incredible adventure. This is just the beginning, and we want you to be a part of every journey that we will be taking on moving forward. So together, we can make a difference, explore the world, and preserve our heritage. So before we say goodbye, let's...
I have a quote for you guys.
Leave you
my favorite quote.
Yeah.
My favorite travel quote. Mark Twain once said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the things you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails. explore, dream, discover. Join the Philippine Global Explorers.
All right. And you know what's interesting about this quote is it's pretty similar to the guest that we, or this journey is pretty similar to what Thor has actually done for himself. So we want to thank, of course, Thor for joining us on this maiden voyage of the Philippine Global Explorers.
And also Riza Rasco, our chairman and president of the Philippine Global Explorers. Thank you for spending time with us on this pilot podcast. Until next time, keep exploring, keep dreaming, and keep pushing the boundaries of what is possible with the Philippine Global Explorers.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Philippine Global Explorers podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.